Good afternoon. Y'all have had a good day so far. Good prosperous day. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I want to thank Pastor Rogers for this opportunity to teach the Bible study on this evening. He's resting and will be back Sunday. I'm going to preach the roof off. But we're glad for the opportunity. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we come to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for keeping us all day long. Father, I ask that you give me the words to say to the waiting congregation. Don't let your word go out in word only, but let it go out in power and in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. Father, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Open up their hearts to receive your word. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I know that Pastor Roger likes to read Psalm chapter 25, verses 1 through 5. So if we could read that first, then we'll go to our scripture for the evening. Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me be not ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. May God add a blessing to the readers and the doers of his word. I want to thank everybody for being here. Preach brethren, Reverend McCoy and Reverend Mims, to all of you, my wife, it's good to be here today. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. And we'll look at some other scriptures as well, but this will be our base scripture. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. If you need time to find it, just tell me to hold on and I'll wait for you. Chapter 4, verse 2. It reads as follows. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Just want to talk about for tonight a victorious prayer life. A victorious prayer life. Have you ever been in a situation and you really needed to get God's attention? So you start praying and you tell him all the good things that you have done. We all have done that. You know, Lord, I sing in a choir. I'm a preacher. I feed the homeless. I've done all this stuff. I really need for you to move for me. But not Martha and Mary. When you look at them in John chapter 11, they didn't do all of that when their brother Lazarus was sick. They knew what moved Jesus. They simply said, Lord, the one that you love is sick. That was all they said. And when I discovered that, it just really just blew my mind. Because we say so much stuff while we praying. And they simply said, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. And that moved Jesus. Even though he didn't come right when they wanted him to, he still came. So all you got to say is, Lord, the one whom you love is dealing with such and such. Try that out and see what kind of change that it makes. And Paul here in Colossians, he was a man about prayer. He knew that prayer was our key. Prayer was our connection with God. And he told the Colossians, I know that you're dealing with false teachers. I know that you're dealing with everyday matters in life. And even though I'm in prison, even though I've never met y'all, keep on praying. Paul said, continue in prayer. So if you are going to have a victorious prayer life, the first thing that you need to do is be avid in your prayers. I say that because Paul said, continue. Now, this word continue, it means to be constant. It means to persevere. It means to be unwearied in your prayers. You might be saying, well, I really don't know what to pray for. That's where Romans 8, 26, 27 comes in. It says, we don't know what we should pray for. It says, but the Holy Spirit helpeth us with our infirmities and makes intercession for us, and he prays according to the will of God. Now, that word intercession means somebody is coming in, diving in to help us out and pull us out of our situation. We have the Holy Spirit that is coming in. It's like a rescue operation. You know, like what's going on in Afghanistan. Those people are looking for somebody to come in and rescue them. The Holy Spirit, he does a rescue operation when you don't know what you're praying for. He comes in and he helpeth. He dives down in and he helps you in your prayers. Now, why do we need to pray? Well, first of all, Jesus told us men ought to always pray. Pray without faint. Okay, that's first reason. But when you look at Isaiah, I want us to turn to Isaiah 62 and look at verse 6 and 7. And we're going to see something. I have a few scriptures. You know, we had Bible study, so I guess I can get a pass because I got us a few scriptures to look at. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. Give it by the time we get there. Isaiah said, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Verse 7 says, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Isaiah is saying, don't give the Lord no rest. Keep on praying. And that's all Paul's saying, continue in prayer. Isaiah said, give him no rest. Keep on praying. So you got to be at it. Now, you might say, well, I'm not giving him any rest. I'm going to the throne of grace day and night. But he's not giving me an answer. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25 through 26. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25 through 26. You know, sometime you can be praying and God will tell you, that's enough. Leave that alone. We have Moses here who is trying to get into the promised land. But because he didn't do what God told him to do, he didn't make it in the promised land. God told him, I'll let you see it, but I'm not going to take you in there. Look at verse 25. This Moses talking. He says, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land. See the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. Verse 26. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes. Wroth means he was angry. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. He told Moses, don't say nothing else to me about getting into the promised land. I'm not going to let you get in there, but I will let you see it. Sometime God is telling us, stop saying something to me about that. I've already done what I was going to do. Don't say nothing else to me about that. Now, does that mean stop praying? No, it don't mean stop praying. It just means stop praying about that particular thing. Because he done already told you the answer is no. Now, our same writer here, Paul, had a problem. You look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh, and he wanted God to remove it. God wouldn't do it. And the reason he had it was because God didn't want Paul to get lifted up in pride. Paul was getting so much revelation that God allowed Satan to send a thorn and buffet him in his side. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. It says, and at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Buffet means just to strike. Whatever it was, we don't know what was wrong with Paul, but whatever it was striking him. It was hitting him. It was hitting him. And it says, least I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul done went three times praying to the Lord, asking him to remove it. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, what Jesus was telling Paul is, all you need is my grace. And a lot of times, he's not going to remove what it is that's bothering you. The good news is, he's going to give you more grace. I can remember this last time my back was messed up. And I just kept saying, Lord, if you're not going to remove the pain, give me more grace. And it seemed like that would help me with my pain that I was dealing with. I said, if you're not going to let me see the doctor right now, just give me more grace. But God turned it around. I was able to get in quicker to the doctor than I was supposed to. But just ask him to give you more grace. Because he said it's sufficient, meaning that's all that you need. He said, I can work better when you weak. You know, a lot of times we think that we real strong and we don't need the Lord. And we try to do everything without him. He said, no, I can work better with you when you're weak. So you got to stay avid in your prayers. Not only must you stay avid, but you got to stay alert in your prayers. Back in Colossians, Paul said, watch. He said, continue in prayer and watch. So you got to be alert in your prayers. Do you know that prayer is a struggle? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one. I'm trying to pray. The phone ringing. The children want to come and ask you something. They done passed you all day, but now they want to come and ask you something. Why are you trying to pray? You got all kind of thoughts going through your head. You know, I've noticed that when you really praying, I'm telling you, really reaching out to God, that's when distractions come. You know, you got demons in the atmosphere, and their job is to distract you, to stop you from praying. So that's when all that stuff will happen, the phone ring, somebody ring the doorbell. anything will happen to stop you from praying. But you got to be alert. This word alert here in Colossians 4:2, it means to be on a vigilant watch. It means not to fall into a doze. It means really to stay awake, be attentive, be on the lookout. Paul here, he was telling these people, be alert. You got false teachers everywhere. Be on the lookout. But prayer is a struggle. Look at Romans 15:30. Am I moving too fast? Okay. Romans 15:30. Give you time to get there. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now, I told you it's a struggle. This word strive here means to agonize. You know, you in agony while you're praying. It also means to be a partner. So if you're going to be somebody's prayer partner, you're going to have to agonize in prayer. That's why you got to be careful on selecting your prayer partner, because everybody is not going to strive with you in prayer. Perfect example, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we're going to turn there in a little bit. Everybody does not feel what you're going through. And what's a crisis to you might not be a crisis to them. Now, it's a crisis to them when something is going on with them. So you have to be careful who you have for your prayer partner, because everybody is not going to struggle and strive in prayer with you. You can be striving and you can be praying, but your prayers can be held up. Look at Daniel 10:12-13. Daniel 10:12-13. Now, we know Daniel didn't have a problem with praying. Daniel prayed so much that they tried to trap him. That's how he got put in the lion's den, for praying so much. But he was praying, but he wasn't getting the answer. Have you ever been there? You're praying, but you ain't getting the answer. Okay. Daniel 10:12-13. It says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. Now that should make us feel better. Notice it says, Daniel, don't be scared. Don't worry about it. From the first day, your words were heard. You've been praying. God heard it on the first day. But continue in prayer. He heard it on the first day. And he says, and I am come for thy words. Verse 13. But, somehow we got a conjunction there. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. That prayer got caught up in the air. Satan grabbed that prayer. That's all he's talking about when he's talking about the kingdom of Persia. He's just talking about Satan. The prayer got held up for 21 days. Now just think about it. You've been praying on something. You ain't got no answer yet. That's why you have to be ready to battle in spiritual warfare. It's a real thing. That's why Paul said put on the whole armor of God. Because you have to battle in spiritual warfare. It's not with us. He says not with flesh and blood, but it's with angels, principalities, spirits, demons, all that stuff. You have to be ready for spiritual warfare. So the prayer got held up. But also, it is reasons why we struggle in prayer. Have you ever thought, wondered, ask yourself, why do I struggle to pray so hard? What problems do I have? Well, the first one is your focus is wrong. When we're praying, our focus is wrong. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Jesus talking, Sermon on the Mount. He says, see this, I'll wait and let you get there. Everybody there? Okay. Be not ye therefore like unto them. He's talking about the hypocrites. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Okay. So we know God know what we need before we ask him. He knows everything. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Sometimes we just go in talking about everything what we want. But Jesus is giving a pattern here. A lot of people like to call this the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer because the Lord has not sinned. He's not asking anybody to provide him with no food, none of that stuff. The Lord's Prayer is John chapter 17. But he said that you have to say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means to just honor him. Set him apart. Worship him. Don't just bust through the door. You know, sometimes now if you're in an emergency, that's something different. But you got to set him apart, hallow his name. Then it says in verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What does God want first? We know you got your needs. He know you got your needs, but put me first. When you keep reading, Jesus told him, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That word added, I mean, he's just going to lay them at your feet. But seek him first. Then you look at verse 11 and 12, you can give your wants, your petitions to him. But put him first. You got to put him first. There was a guy on a boat, and the boat was getting ready to sink. Captain said, is anybody on here that know how to pray? Guy jumped up. He said, yeah, I know how to pray. He said, good. You pray while we put on our life jacket because it's only enough for us. You never know what situation you're going to be in. You never know when you're going to get called on for prayer. But you got to be ready to pray. But he said, our focus is wrong. But not only that, our flesh is weak. Still in Matthew, look at chapter 26, verse 41. I got to make sure y'all in here with me. Matthew 26, verse 41. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You ever had something you really wanted to do it? Your heart was set to do it, but your flesh just wouldn't let you do it. Our flesh is weak. Our spirit is willing. And Jesus told them he couldn't even get them to pray with him for 1 hour. All he was asking for was 1 hour. He wasn't asking for no all night prayer meeting, just 1 hour. We can't pray with the Lord for 1 hour, but we can binge watch now. So I have to watch my daughter. She liked to binge watch and mess around with her. I'll be to watch TV 7 hours. You have to be careful and watch where you spend your time. Now, you can sit there and watch TV, Netflix, all this stuff, 6 7 hours. Ain't that wrong watching TV? But at least give the Lord an hour. And he was disappointed. You know, not that I need you to pray for me. You just praying with me. Everything going to be taken care of. But they couldn't pray with him for 1 hour. So our focus is wrong. Our flesh is weak. But also our faith is weary. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. We all know about this story. This boy that was disease. He had so much going on, but come down to it, he had a devil in him. And they brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't do it. You know, that's the saddest thing in the Bible. They said, "We brought him to your disciples to help us," and they could not. So many people, they come to the church looking for some help, and they could not. This is the hospital. We ought to be able to help those that walk in here, come in here with a need. Amen. But these disciples, they couldn't do it. Verse 24 says, "And straightway, immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Now, we have a hard time admitting that sometimes we doubt what the Lord is going to do. It's just like what we looked at Sunday. They praying in Acts chapter 12, but they didn't really believe that the Lord was going to deliver Peter. This man, he believed, but he had some unbelief. So what do you do when you're struggling with your unbelief? Lord, help me with my unbelief. Help me to trust you, you know, to believe more in you. I never forget. Because a man came to the house to deliver some furniture. He had a necklace around his neck. And I didn't know what it was, but it was a thing with ashes of it in it of his son. And we got to talking, and he said, you know, we like to keep him close. His son died. He was dealing with some things, and he died. And he said that he was still struggling with that problem. So the Lord was showing me that this man is not saved. So we talking to him, and I said, well, you know, let me pray with you, praying with him. I said, you got to trust the Lord to help you with this. His words were, I don't know if I could do that. And when he was being honest, when you think about it, it's hard to trust somebody that you don't know. You don't leave your children with somebody that you don't know. You don't tell anybody to watch your house that you don't know. So he didn't know him. And a lot of us, we really don't know him like we think we do. So we got to get to know him. We got to spend time in his word. We got to get a relationship with him. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. He then gave invitation after invitation saying, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. He'll give you rest, but we want to go to everybody but Jesus. Go to him. So you got to be avid. You got to be alert. But Paul said, continue in prayer with and watch with the same with thanksgiving. You got to tell the Lord thank you. So that leads us to our third point. You got to be appreciative in your prayers. That word thanksgiving, it means to be grateful. It's an act of worship. Now, how would you like it? You keep giving somebody some and they never say thank you. Just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. After a while, you're going to get tired of them. Your children just constantly getting something from you. They don't never say thank you. You know, mama, thank you for cooking for us. Thank you for, you know, washing clothes. They never say that. After a while, you're going to get tired of doing it. So that's why, you know, you got to tell your wife, you know, thank you for cooking that good dinner. Thank you for washing my clothes and all that stuff. You got to do that. You have to tell people thank you. And this generation, unthankful. It's just something wrong with saying thank you. It's hard for us to do it. I think that when you say thank you, you acknowledging that somebody done something for you. And we don't want to do that. But in Colossians, Paul talked about why they needed to be thankful. Look at Colossians 1 and 12. This is coming off a prayer that Paul had done in verses 9 through, really it's 9 through 14, if you just want to be technical about the Greek. But verse 12, Paul said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul said, we give him the Father thanks. Simple reason, because that word meet means to qualify. God has qualified us to go to heaven. Did you know that you weren't even qualified? You was not qualified to step foot in heaven, yet alone in his presence. But Paul said, we're going to give him thanks because he has made us qualified. That's something to shout about right there. He qualified us. There was nothing you could do to qualify yourself to even get in the presence of God. That's what Jesus come in at. Because if it wasn't for him, you couldn't even approach him. That's why it's a slap in the face to God when you don't pray. Simple reason, because when you look at the Old Testament, they couldn't even go to God. It was a curtain, just like we're going to use that curtain up there. It was a curtain that was up. It was so thick. So many men had to be used to even hang this curtain. And you could not get to the Holy of Holies. You couldn't get to it. It was once a year that the priest could go in there, and he had to be right when he went in there. If not, the Lord gonna knock him down, and they had to tie a rope around him and drag him out of there. You couldn't even go in the presence of God. But when Jesus died on the cross, Matthew says that the curtain was rent in two, ripped it in half. Now we can go to the presence of God. We have no excuse not to go to God. He made us qualify. I like that. Oh my goodness. He qualified us to be partakers, to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. But look at verse 13. Not only did he qualify us, but who hath delivered us. He rescued us from the power of darkness. Darkness has some power. He had some power, but Jesus said, I got all power. But he rescued. That word delivered means to rescue. He rescued us from the power of darkness. Not only that, he said, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That word translated means he changed us over. He changed us over. We was in darkness. We had to have a transfer. You didn't have a transfer before. We had to have a transfer into the kingdom of his dear son. That means, when you look at this in other writings, it means of the son that he loved. He done it because he loved his son. Amen. His son loved us. That's why Martha and Mary said, the one whom you love is sick. God move when he think about the love he have for us. That make him move. But Paul said, he delivered us, he translated us. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We've been redeemed. Jesus redeemed us. He paid the price for us. And Psalm said, the redeemed of the Lord should say so. You ought to have something to say because you've been redeemed. But he done it through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. That means that our sins, he got them, just took them and got rid of them. So Paul said we should give thanks. Now look at Colossians 3 and 15. We're going to get ready to get out of here. Colossians 3 and 15. Everybody there? All right. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, let's look at this. You ever had to pray about something and you didn't really know what the outcome was going to be? It was kind of shaky for you. But you praying, you kept on praying, and you finally got some peace about it. Now, that's the peace of God. But notice Paul said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That word rule simply means to be an umpire. Simply means to be an arbitrator, a judge. It's going to tell you that the right decision has been made. That's the peace of God ruling in your hearts. You at peace about it. You ain't worried about it no more. That's the peace of God. So he said, be thankful. Not only the peace of God ruling your hearts, but he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. See, a lot of us like to put our Bible on the coffee table. And we let the word dwell in our coffee table, but not in our hearts. Our coffee table got more word than we do. But it's supposed to dwell in our hearts. And it says, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You notice that this sounds like Ephesians 5, chapter 5. Talking about being filled with the Spirit. When you compare Ephesians and Colossians, it's pretty much saying the same thing. When you get a chance, look at it. Ephesians and Colossians, Paul wrote it pretty much the same way. And verse 17. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So whatever you do, when you get ready to leave here, when you get to work tomorrow, you go on vacation, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? Do it all in His power. Amen. Do it in His power, His authority. But after you do it, Paul said, make sure you give thanks. Amen. Give Him thanks because He's watching. Luke 17, the 10, only one came back and gave thanks. He said, I thought it was 10 of them. Well, they're nine. Only one came back to give thanks. Be the one to give thanks. You will be surprised how God will just keep on blessing you. And it ain't got to always be financially. It could be you might be sick and your body need to be healed. Your children could be in trouble. It could be anything. But you done always gave Him thanks. He know you appreciate Him. He know you're not trying to take Him for granted. He gonna do something else for you. But you got to give Him thanks. So if you're going to have a victorious prayer life, you must be avid in your prayers, alert in your prayers, and appreciative in your prayers. And God will bless you. May God bless you, and may God keep you. Does anybody come and get it, or do we just go ahead and dismiss? Okay. Let us stand for prayer. Thank y'all for coming out tonight. God bless you. Eternal Father, we come to say thank you. Again, thank you for letting your word go forth. Father, help us to have a victorious prayer life. Help us to be avid in our prayers. Help us to be alert in our prayers. And help us to be appreciative in our prayers. And Father, we're going to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, those that are sick, asking that you touch and heal them. Let your will be done. Continue to keep Pastor Rogers and his family. Strengthen him. Bless them with what they need. Each person in this congregation, Lord, those that are on roll, those that are watching virtual, Lord, bless them. You know what they need. Father, we relying and depending on you. There's nothing that we can do without you. And Father, we're going to thank you for everything that you're doing, what you're going to do, because we know that you know best. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let us get home safe. Keep us safely throughout the week till we meet again. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.